Hello everyone, welcome to Talking in the Rain. I'm your host, Sara Unju, and today my guest is burlesque and cabaret performer Melody Mengler. In this episode, we talk about how she got started. We talk about her different acts, how she comes up with them, how she prepares for them. And you really do find out in this episode that inspiration can strike from anywhere. We also talk specifically about Theater of the Damned, in which Melody will be performing an act inspired by the movie Midsommar. You can catch Theater of the Damned starting October 16th at the Beaumont Studios. If you want more details and want to get tickets, you can go to thebeaumontstudios.com. We also talk about all the different things she produces, from wrestling to cabaret. So if you want to know more, keep listening, and I hope you enjoy.
Hello, my name is Melody Mengler. I've been a cabaret artist in the city of Vancouver since 2003, mostly specializing in burlesque, but also theater, singing, you know, just kind of random. I run adult game shows, you know, just kind of outsider performance art extraordinaire.
I love that description. I read that you wanted to be a mermaid princess when you grew up. And I feel like you've successfully achieved that with everything you're doing. And so how did you get started with this career as a cabaret artist? Do you think wanting to be a mermaid princess had anything to do with it?
Definitely my childhood, I was very much encouraged to be creative and let my imagination run wild, which is fantastic. I ended up going to college for theater studies in Red Deer, and I wanted to just kind of explore what was outside of Alberta. I was very drawn to the ocean, so I moved out to the West Coast, ended up hanging out at the punk rock bar, and that's where I met my husband. We ended up creating this R-rated game show that had a burlesque element to it, and that was really the start of it, realizing that, you know, you can go to auditions and, you know, be part of someone else's vision, which is fun and fine. But there was something so appealing to me personally about getting to just take whatever strange idea you might have in your head and bring it to life immediately on stage, which is what the kind of cabaret arts allows you to do, is you're getting up immediately in front of people at a nightclub or a bar.
That makes a lot of sense now, knowing that you co-founded the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival, as well as the Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society. And you also run so many events that I could list, but
there's a lot going on.
Yeah, that's so cool. The Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society, that I feel like is the most active. If I'm wrong, you can correct me.
It's actually been defunct since 2000. It did not, alas, the organization did not survive COVID. So it no longer exists.
Oh no. I'm so sorry.
It had a good run. Our focus was on creating a place for amateur performers to kind of study, you know, take classes, workshops, learn from each other, and have kind of a stage, have a studio and a stage to train and test out new material in front of audiences. We did that for about 16 years, and it was awesome. We ended up winning Call of Fame in Las Vegas one year in 2016. That was a big highlight. We ended up doing a act with 42 performers in it down in Las Vegas. We went and we performed at the Munich Burlesque Festival. We had a really, really great time. And we also produced plays at the Waterfront Theater. We did a lot. We accomplished a lot, but it was time for the next chapter. So I'm really excited to be in, you know, more theatrical style runs like the Beaumont production coming up.
Yeah, okay. Because maybe your website isn't very up to date then.
Oh no, it is not.
That makes sense. Okay. So kind of like going through your Instagram and, reading your bio everywhere, doing research in general. I've noticed that you have a lot of horror-themed acts. And also, I read that you used Goralesque to describe your performances. So, would you firstly explain what Goralesque means for everybody? And then also, I want to know if you've always been interested in horror and gore. And I'm curious as to why this is a prevalent theme.
Okay, so there's a lot there. I wouldn't say that all of my performances are gorelesque, but I definitely really enjoy delving into the gorelesque realm. And what gorelesque is just a short slang term for a burlesque act that is horror specific. Yeah, I've always kind of been drawn to horror movies. I think maybe, with the unhinged creativity I had as a child, I was also allowed to watch movies that maybe other kids weren't. Like, my favorite movie in grade 3 was Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Like, I wasn't scared, I just really thought it was fun. I think I knew it was make believe. But I think playing with death can make you less scared of it, like kind of laughing with it. I think there's something cathartic about it, just kind of facing mortality head on. Feels healthy to me, at least for me, to have a sense of humor about it. There's also just something intriguing, mysterious about it, which is just fun to explore. I do also produce a horror variety spectacular called Dreadful Delights. It's happening this weekend at the Russian Hall, October 10th and 11th, which I'm very excited for. So that's a little precursor leading up to the big Beaumont show. And yeah, funny enough, when Screaming Chicken was starting out, one of our very first larger productions was a recreation of Ed Wood's Orgy of the Dead. So if you watch that movie, it's atrocious, but it's so campy and poorly created, but it is also at its heart amazing. The princess of the damned, the ruler of the underworld are like sitting in this graveyard with the werewolf and the mummy, and they are judging the souls, deciding on which version of hell they're going to end up at. So it's just a bunch of striptease acts in a graveyard. And that's the whole movie. I highly re recommend watching Ed Wood's Orgy of the Dead. Anyway, we turned that campy film into a live stage production at a venue. And this was a long time ago. Like, I want to say 2004, 2005, something like that. So there is a long history of me being kind of drawn to bringing nudity and horror together. And also, there is something kind of intriguing. I like giving fear boners. I find there's something sort of interesting in making people want to look. Like, you get the nudity, but also there's a bit of the cringe and the horror. You want to look away, but you can't look away. Like, there's this exchange of, like, you get this sexuality presented to you, but in order to get that, you have to deal with this horrific thing I'm also presenting to you. So there's kind of fun in that.
That's so funny. I've never heard anyone say fear boner before. But you know what? I think that makes sense. That's so funny. So, given the insane movie pool that you just did, I kind of want to know, how Rocky Horror is kind of, it's like a very staple in Halloween culture. But also for someone who is so interested in horror, and I'm assuming knows way more and deep cuts than like most people, do you find that Rocky Horror is like mainstream for you?
I think it's fantastic. Anything that gets people out to a theater to watch a movie and then also participate, I love things like that with a cult status. Like, everyone dresses up, and if it's a gateway movie to like diving into like subversive culture, I think that's fantastic. Don't dream it, be it. It has such a great motto as well.
I love that. Yeah. I wanted to ask how you come up with your acts, because I've seen so many different things, and you just mentioned how like not all of them are horror related, even though you do dip into horror a lot. And also you mentioned the Beaumont show coming up as well. And looking at your Instagram, I'm assuming it's Midsommar related. Yeah, so I wanna, yeah, can you talk about like how you come up with the idea? Do you find the character or the theme first and then build your act on that? How does it work? And you can talk specifically about your act for the Beaumont show as well.
How I come up with acts, it really is all over the place. It's sometimes I'll hear a song and then, the gears start turning. Sometimes I will think of a costume I want to create. So like the visual kind of comes first. And then sometimes I just have an idea of a story that I, or a character I really just want to, embody. So it, inspiration comes from all places. I just try to be as receptive as possible, and write everything down. As soon as I have like a niblet of an idea, I'm writing everything down, so I don't forget. Because a lot of ideas coming, you can get kind of, distracted too. With this particular production, Theater of the Damned, the initial pitch was to take the audience on a journey through the history of horror movies. So, starting with the black and white Nosferatu and ending with a more recent Midsommar, but also Midsommar does harken back. I have some Wicker Man themes also with this act. I mean, I'm a huge folk horror fan. I'm a huge horror movie fan. I also used to work at a video store, so you are correct in that I'm a huge movie nerd, especially weird movies. So this one, okay, I don't want to give too much away. This one really was the theme first. Then we found the songs. And I also really love flowers and floral themes. So folk horror, you get kind of the gruesomeness, but then also the beauty of the flowers and also the death. We have a great bear costume. I'm very excited.
That sounds so much fun. And it's all, well, it's not just burlesque either. I read that there's going to be drag shows as well, but I'm assuming you're doing burlesque. Yeah. And about your, like, when you're performing, you sometimes incorporate clowning, some chair acro. Yeah. Talk to me about your choreographing stage. Like, how do you know which act is going to be more serious versus more like comical or like more acro, less acro? Or is it just all internally? You just do it.
It's really like, it depends on the character. It depends on also if I know what performance space I'm going to be working in. But, I will tailor any number to that stage because sometimes I'm restricted by like the environment I'm performing in. That's what's exciting about the Beaumont too, is like we have this one stage, but that really we're performing throughout the whole venue. So during my act, I'm getting to lead the audience on a bit of a parade and then turn them into a theater in the round situation where they actually become a part of the ritual. So it is really exciting when I can work and create an act from the ground up, knowing the exact performance venue I'll be using and having kind of permission from the venue and the production team about like what, where are the parameters? What am I allowed to create? Because I think it's really exciting when you can make it an immersive experience that the audience can also participate in. And that's something I think people are craving, is not just sitting back and watching, but also feeling a part of the energy on stage, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. It makes it so much more fun, I think, because, yeah, like watching a show, amazing. Yes, absolutely. And I will go tell my friends about it. But if there's an immersive element to it, I will tell everyone I meet. I'm like, you wouldn't believe. I went to the show, there was a Midsommar theme, I was in the ritual. I love it. So I read a previous interview. I think this was from many years ago. You mentioned that it was for a competition, I believe. If you win, it would be through figuring out how to become your big prop instead of having one. I don't know
Oh,
it. Yeah, I don't know if you remember this at all. But I want to ask, is this still accurate to you as a performer? And what does it mean for you to be your big prop instead of having it?
I think probably what I was getting at there is that, with any sort of performance, you can, it's remembering to trust in yourself and really like build your act from the ground up within you. It's awesome if people have a bunch of money and they can invest and, like buy, like build and buy and construct like big props or spend like thousands of dollars on your costume. But at the end of the day, you should be able, or I believe, one should be able to entertain an audience with nothing in a potato sack, right? It should, the most impressive thing is to build it from within. Because if you just show up with something expensive and there's nothing behind it, then audience, I think, can tell. It could feel a bit hollow, where I feel like it's a missed opportunity to really like deep dive in yourself and figuring out how can, it's all about connection, I guess, performing. So if you at your very core have this connection in this story you're telling, then you are your big prop because you're connecting and you're finding. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah, I like that. I
Yeah.
think it also has to do a lot with your confidence in yourself as a performer, because I feel like the more confident you are, the less you might feel like you need a prop to get some attention, like aid you in your performance. Whereas if you're more confident and you believe that you can entertain a crowd by yourself, then yeah, you might not feel so much need for it.
And if you have a big prop, really understanding why it's there and making sure you utilize it fully. Anything you bring onto the stage should be used. There's nothing more distracting than like bringing a prop or something onto the stage, and then you're like waiting for someone to do something, and then but that might be a bit of a sidetrack.
I feel like everything I'm asking you is through your Instagram.
That's the only thing I post everything. Like my website's from like 10 years ago. So.
Okay, good. I saw a video. You had like a big, not really a skirt, but it was in your waist with like two cages, and the cages had babies inside them. And then,
Yeah.
yeah, can you tell me about that act? I'm really curious.
Yeah. So I actually use the cages in two different acts. I originally used them for a queen vampire act in which I came out, and then I actually had two dancers as like vampire brides hiding in them, and they came out, and then we like killed a victim. So I've used it as a queen vampire. And then more recently, what I've been performing as is the witch from Hansel and Gretel. So I've built an overskirt, which is a giant gingerbread house. And then I reveal that Hansel and Gretel are hanging in the cages. And then my favorite part of this is on Hansel's arm. Because, in the story, the witch goes and she's always checking his finger and he's holding out a chicken bone. Anyway, I have this baby arm. It's right here. I have this baby arm that I pop a chicken leg into. And it's seamless. It just looks like a little shoulder on the arm when I take it off. And so I can eat his arm on stage.
Nice. I also love that you just had a baby arm right next to what I assume is your bed. This really is a perfect representation of a creative person. I love that. I think it's really creative having the chicken leg in there. Does that get a lot of like audience reaction when you do that?
Oh yeah, because it's very visceral. Like, I mean, just people can see the children and the little hand, and then just I really take a lot of time pulling the meat And, you know, because really, this is a story for children, right? Like, this is told to children, and I'm just kind of laying it out very bluntly. So it comes across very horrific, but it is a story for children. So, you know, I don't know. This
Yeah, I mean the Grimm Brothers tales are way darker than the like what we were told as children. So I think it's really fitting the way you do it. Definitely.
I think details are glazed over when we're told certain things as
Oh yeah,
children.
absolutely.
You really want to do a deep dive into some child horror. Look up Struwwelpeter. It's one of my favorite books. It's a German book from like the 1800s. It's filled with cautionary tales for young folks, and it's really messed up. It's really messed up poems for kids. The Germans knew how to frighten children.
Yeah, actually, you make a good point. So, did you read this as a child, or was this a recent find?
No, I found it
Oh,
later
okay.
in life, but yeah, I found it when I was around 18, and just kind of I really love kind of twisted nursery rhymes and folk and mythology tales. I think it's interesting how cultures have you know, like these are stories to shape people, shape youth, and you know, what people felt at the heart was important to keep people safe, right? You know, don't go into the woods because a wolf is going to eat you. I mean, imagine trying to keep track of your kids living in a small village in a forest or something, you know, just trying to stop them from danger. You have to scare people, I guess.
Hey, if it works, it works.
It works,
Exactly. And
right?
they give you great ideas for your performances. What more could you ask for? Yeah.
Exactly.
So, do you love chicken like more than other animals? Sorry, I just feel like I have to ask with the theater company's name and
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's funny. Well, the screaming chicken, it kind of came about because after rehearsing with feather boas, the after in the studio there would be like feathers on the floor everywhere. So screaming chicken. Also, there were these like squeaky toys that make this kind of high-pitched scream. So sort of based off that. But yeah, I also do have an ode to church's chicken, to the Hozier song "Take Me to Church," and it's like this whole thing where I end up getting kind of like baptized by French fries and a communion with the Pope, and by the end I'm naked, and it's like it's all about having the shame over. You're like hung over from a night of drinking, and you just need to make it to church's chicken to get fried chicken, and then everything will be better. I end up naked, and then I have a bunch of dancers behind me with chicken legs. Okay, yes, I have used chicken a lot. And then I just end up eating all the chicken while they're like surrounding my face with chicken legs. And that's one of my favorite acts because I get to eat chicken on stage.
I was gonna say, this really is just an excuse to feed yourself on stage.
Kind of a slosher. If you know what that means, you know what that means. I do a lot of acts of food. I also have an act where I'm a giant turkey.
Oh, okay. Different bird.
Different bird, but I am the turkey. And then I get covered in oil and carrot shavings and
You eat
stuff.
yourself?
No,
Oh,
I
okay.
just get oiled up and stuffed with breadcrumbs.
Love that. Hey, Thanksgiving's
Christmas
coming up.
holiday
Perfect.
theme act.
Yeah.
Book me for your Christmas party today. I'm a giant turkey.
Yes. I think absolutely someone needs to do this. Oh my God. Sorry, I'm s I don't know how to recover after this.
I'll send you pictures. It's pretty intense.
Oh my God, please. So you mentioned, I want to know more about this bird related acts because so you mentioned that the idea could come up from anywhere. You could hear a song that could inspire it, or you just get the idea to do it. So which one came first in this case?
With the turkey or with the eating the church's chicken?
Honestly, I want to know both.
Okay, so the church's chicken was, I heard this song, and I am a huge fan of church's fried chicken, and that was just the connection. That was all I needed. I was like, oh my God, I want to do a dramatic interpretive dance to take me to church, but it's about being hungover and needing fried chicken. And that was a whole stem. And then I got the backup dancers where I made them giant fried chicken costumes. And then I had the giant fry box goddess. And then I have the customer service worker with the visor and the shirt, feeding me the pop, and it all turns into just a very religious chicken experience for that one. And also just the idea again with this, like, I really do like this idea of mixing, nudity, striptease with something that might be slightly off-putting, because to me that makes it funny. Something that's supposed to be sexy and sensual, and then you kind of flip it with something like, wait, what? Like what? Like, it's just kind of confusing to the brain. And for me, it's empowering. For me, like, that's my empowering with the nudity, is to make it strange. Because then I'm just catering to my own gaze, my own ideas, my own idea of what I want to exist as naked. Turns it on its head a bit, is a bit more punk rock for me, and that's what I like. The turkey idea, the root inspiration of that is I saw a funny video online of this girl getting her guy friends to hold carrots over her face with peelers, and they were shaving the carrots like dicks, and the carrot peels were, and she was like, holding her tongue out like a carrot peel bukkake sort of situation. And I was like, how do I turn that into an act? And then my answer was being a turkey, so that the chefs do this sort of carrot dick bukkake onto me. So I get covered in the oil first, and then the carrot peels stick onto my body and my face and everything. And then I have the little turkey booties, and yeah. So those are
I
the
love
two
that.
of those act inspirations.
That's amazing. Inspiration really does struck from anywhere.
It really does.
Oh my God. So I feel like any of my questions are gonna be so boring after all of this. But
You never know. You never know, it'll take a turn.
that's really true. So, going off of coming up with acts, creating, how long does it usually go from idea, like conception of the idea, to ready for stage? I'm assuming it varies quite a lot, but also it probably doesn't take too short amount of time because you do have to come up with a whole act. It's not just the idea and the costumes. So, yeah, can you talk a little bit about that process for you?
For me, it really depends on what the act is. Like, sometimes I'll get hired for a corporate gig and they're like, we need a strip tease that's in this theme, and like, it's this kind of color vibe era, like, we need a 20s thing that's like this. And then I'll quickly look at what I have, and I can create a new act to a new song in a day or so, right? Ex like pulling from existing things that I have in my toolbox of performance. Something like the Gingerbread Witch act, that's going to take longer because I'm building a huge costume. So, like, that'll take maybe a couple months to really build it up and get it working properly, because it's very costume heavy. And then other acts, like, if I need to train in the movement, like, if I have this cyborg chair acro act where I'm like, I'm a cyborg, and it's all about like resisting technology. So that one is a bit of like intense costume, but also like connecting the music to the acro tricks that I want to do, and training in the exact acro tricks that I want to do. So it really just depends on the movement, depends on the costume and the story, and yeah, it depends on the it really depends on the act. I'm sorry that so anywhere from like I can do a new act in a day, or it'll take a few months to get something ready.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. A day is crazy, though. That's
But I have
insane. But
been doing
also,
this for over 20 years.
I was just about to say, I literally had to look at my notebook to be like, it does say 2003.
Yeah. I started when I was 12. Just kidding. I'm a vampire. Just kidding.
Nobody knows your age and will never know. Maybe except for your husband. So, wait, doing this since 2003, did you start performing in 2003? Did you start like kind of getting into it in 2003?
Started performing the R-rated game show at the punk rock bar. So I moved out here in 2002, straight out of theater school. And then a few months into being out here, that's when we started. Like, he was bartending at the Cobalt, the punk rock bar, and there was nothing to do on a Monday night, and we just started doing this like weird punk rock game show. We actually made it on onto Much Music and got interviewed by Nardwar. So that was like a fun thing. There's a video clip of that out there where I say the dumbest thing being interviewed. The only thing I could think of when I was being interviewed by Nardwar was to say, I am the tits of game show night. Like, that is the only thing that I said, and it's so embarrassing. Because interviews are hard. Like, it takes a while to be able to like speak naturally, or like, and you're new and everything. So there's that embarrassing video clip that you can look up.
I get that. Literally, after every interview, I was like, was I making sense in my questions or should I just like not release this?
Been a long
Yeah.
journey of like not being too precious about answers and just trying to speak as most from the heart as I can, trying the best to stay on track of thought, which is tricky for me.
It's hard. No, you're doing a great job. We love authenticity. So, I wanted to ask you, doing this for so long, does it not get boring? And if not, how does it not get boring?
For me, I need to be constantly reinventing myself. So like I've gone through the journey of like writing plays. Like, what probably the play I'm the most proud of was Grease Does Grease, which was a parody musical using all the songs from Grease 1 and Grease 2, telling the story of Persephone and Hades. It was like ancient Greece, like Grease the musical, but then ancient Greece. So Grease Does Grease. Togas and tigris.
How no, how did you even come up with this? That's crazy.
So like I'm always just trying to think of like different ways to approach striptease, because it can be very limiting. You look at the golden era and like, yeah, you can do that to death. And I really love doing just straight up golden era striptease. It is so gorgeous and fun and playful. And there are so many different moods you can do with it and explore in just classic era striptease. But there's so much range of possibility in burlesque and in just outsider art in general. And cabaret entertainment. So, like, where I really get drawn to is exploring like a I was a professional wrestler for 6 years. I've trained in partner acrobatics. I now have a lounge duet. So we do like kind of like campy, zhuzhy lounge songs, but kind of unexpected covers. So that's my newest project that's happening.
You have the most insane CV. Wait, you are a professional wrestler?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, please do tell me more.
So I actually made it down and wrestled in Monterrey, Mexico, which is pretty insane. I wrestled for 6 years. I produce a production called Glam Slam here in Vancouver. So it's weirdo wrestling, where we're kind of like if SNL was a wrestling show. So we take topical we take topical themes of the day in your news cycle and kind of like layer that onto wrestling matches, as well as just kind of fantastical matches you would never expect. We try and mix it up with like outrageous concepts for wrestling matches and bring it to life. One of our main wrestlers is called the Croctopus. It's a croctopus head and octopus body. We have unicorns, hot dogs, like just anything you can think of. But we also did like an ICE agents versus Lucha Babies in a cage match. So we're not afraid to get political. So, yeah.
Yeah, is there a show coming up?
November 7th at Industrial 236. You can see Grand
Awesome.
Slam. Yeah.
What else do, because again, you do so much. What else do you have coming up? Do you want to just kind of
Yeah, okay. So, well, this
list all
weekend,
of them?
I already plugged it. This weekend is my horror variety spectacular, Dreadful Delights. So that's music, circus, singing. We got ballet, we got drag, we got burlesque. I also run Performance Progressive. So I have two classes that are going to be doing a live performance in the show. There's also a horror comedy magician, Alistair Crane, who's going to be hosting that whole experience. So it's everything to get you perfectly set in the spooky mood for this season. And that's October 10th and 11th at the Russian Hall this weekend. Then I have November 7th, Glam Slam, Weirdo Wrestling at Industrial 236. And after that, December 11th, I have Beyond Bizarre, which is my every couple months I run Beyond Bizarre, which is, I'm trying to be like the Box in New York. So just very weirdo, very outsider performance art. Pushing the boundaries. Like, I do hire the top variety talents in the city, but I'll ask them to do something a little extra strange. Like, one of my acts, Yuki, is an amazing juggler, probably one of the top jugglers in the city of Vancouver. He was game enough to create an act in which he juggled fish. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a layer of strange on everything in that show. That's
Absolutely.
beyond bizarre. And that happens at Lanaloo's, like a tiny little venue where we all create weird, we meet and we create weird stuff. Another big thing I really do love is bringing people together in my shows. So with Dreadful Delights and with Beyond Bizarre, I'm always reaching out to other performance communities and hiring people from the different communities so they get the opportunity to work on the same show together and then meet each other and cross scenes, because I think that's important. It's so easy for just drag to stay with drag or burlesque to stay with burlesque, or salsa dancers to be in their world or circus to be in circus. There's this whole opportunity for people to network and get to know each other and create solid connections in the arts community here in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's so important. I love that you're doing that. And so, Theater of the Damned, are you also organizing it or are you only performing in it? How did you get involved with that production?
I've been in the last two productions, and then this year I pitched the Beaumont crew on the idea of horror movies through history. Because I am such a horror movie nerd, I'm like, I think this could be a real, like, this could really strike a chord with audiences. So I pitched that idea. That's where my kind of organizational involvement ended. I also create some of the costumes for the production, and yeah, and then creating the final number of the show.
Awesome. That's so cool. I feel like you have a very lively and fun life. It sounds like it. Of course, I don't know the details, but it sounds like it.
Intense. There's a lot going on right now. But at the end of the day, it is very fun. Like, and sometimes I catch myself and I have to stop and laugh if I'm stressed out about anything. And I'm like, oh, I just like have to make these intestines today. And like the jaw isn't working, or you know what I mean? Like silly, ridiculous problems that I have. I have to stop for a moment and take a step back and remember that this is a very fun life, and I'm very fortunate and privileged to be able to do what I do and live in the part of the world that I do. So I do really appreciate what I get to do on a daily basis.
That's so cool. Do you have multiple projects you're working on at the same time usually, or do you go one by one, especially because you make your own costumes? So I'm wondering how intense that is usually on you.
Yes, it is a grand rotation, because also part of what I do for work is I do custom orders for people. So I'm constantly creating costumes for other performers. I do a lot of wrestling gear, which is their costumes. I also just do like ballroom costumes or other dancers' costumes, theater. Any sort of performer comes to me and hires me for costume work. So I'm always trying to rotate that in as well as my other stuff. And then usually, like, there's the different stages to the shows I'm producing. So, right now I'm in production week for Dreadful Delights, but I'm already in casting and, the starts for the December show, Beyond Bizarre. And I'm going to be costuming this whole October month and organizing the stories and the narratives for the different matches for Glam Slam. So it's all just this grand rotation that happens.
It's really impressive. And it all sounds really exciting. I hope they all go really smoothly and you have a great time. Do you want to remind everyone when they can see you in Theater of the Damned and where they can keep up with you?
Theater of the Damned is running October 16th to October 30th. Check out the Beaumont website for that, thebeaumontstudios.com. So check out the exact dates because we are in the process of deciding whether we're adding just a couple more dates, but it's definitely between the 16th and the 30th. So just check out to see when a showing's available. And the best place to catch up with me on everything is on Instagram at Melody Mangler. That is where I post everything. That is my most up to date that you will find me and my shenanigans.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been a delight. I hope you had a good time talking to me. I certainly did talking to you.
Yeah, this was really fun. Thanks for having me today.